Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Oh, I know who is here today, and I know who's not here today, Austin City Limits. Joe, where's Joe?
Joe?
Does anyone know Joe? Where's Joe?
Where'd he go? I have no idea where he went.
He thought
he was working today, actually, until he sent me clips last night.
Oh, good. We'll use him today at his expense. He has some producing quality skills there.
And then he never followed up with me this morning, so I was like, I guess he actually is off.
Well, he told me he was off, so I guess he's off. And I'm not alone here today. In addition to Austin, it is time for Tyler Kennedy. Kennedy on a Thursday. It's a Kennedy Thursday, and this is an interesting little time here, Tyler, because the Penguins, through 19 games, have shown that they're legit, like they're a playoff-contending team. 3 points out of four in Sweden, and it looks like they have a totally different attitude on the ice with some of these guys, how they're existing, the veterans, the young players. One's bringing out the best of the other and vice versa. So you have to be encouraged by what you've seen so far, right? 10-5-4.
Yeah, I think they're playing really well. And especially after the first Nashville game in Sweden, right? They lost in OT. You can see maybe last year's team would come out flat and not have a good game again. You know, I felt like it was the new coach, the new culture in the room that really show some energy and some fight that, hey, we still have a good team, and they came out and played so well. I think that was a big confidence booster for me to believe even more in the Penguins, the way they came out after a couple games that they struggled and then kind of a heartbreaker in OT. So that was huge. And, you know, I have some of the sources, Bob, and one guy said in the room, around the room, the feeling, the excitement – is so different from last year. He said last year, Sully was kind of like a grumpy, expecting guys to do certain things and just expecting it because they played in the NHL, and the communication wasn't always there. And you can see it with some of the clips from Carlson. I think Carlson butted heads with them quite a bit. He said, Muse, it's a completely different approach. He says everyone has a voice. Everyone's got an opinion, and he's so good in explaining what he wants and understanding what they want to give back and putting guys in the right situation. If you ever told me at the beginning of the year that Carlson would be playing with Witherspoon and they would be lights out together, I would have fell off my chair. But Muse is so good at finding the chemistry, so good at adapting, and everything you heard about him, how he's so good at developing players, making guys get the most out of each guy, staying in the extra, working hard. It's really coming to fruition pretty quickly here with the Penguins, and that's how they're getting success. Everyone feels comfortable. Everyone's playing to their strengths, and that's why they're having success. And again, what was the biggest thing Sully had a problem with was giving younger guys opportunities, right? He rode his horses.
But he didn't, way back in the first Stanley Cup that they won, did do that. Those guys came up from Wilkes-Barre Scranton, and then something changed along the way.
It almost feels like when a guy wins, he loses what got him there, right? He loses, like, giving guys opportunity, playing a certain way because he's like, well, I just won back-to-back, and I have Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin on the team. And when you really look at the big picture, it's always the top two lines cancel each other out. It's your depth guys that push you over. And when you add guys like Rust, Gensel, those are the guys that really push them over the top. Yeah, Sidney Crosby, Malkin, they're always going to be the big dogs, the guys that, you know, are your core, but it's the supporting cast that push you to the next level. And I feel when you win, even this happened to Dan Bylsma, right? The biggest thing was Dan rode the same guys through his whole career here. You know, again, Malkin, Crosby, even the veteran guys like Craig Adams, he always gave them first chance. And then when things weren't going, he always went back to the old watering hole, and it eventually cost him his job. And just like Sully, it cost him his job, not adapting, not getting the new blood, because I feel people are a lot better at accepting a loss when you see different guys on the ice and seeing that they're trying something new instead of, oh, all right, we got the same power play out there that hasn't scored in 15, 20 games. You know, that's a problem for a lot of people. But this Muse, you got to give them credit. And from what I'm hearing is they're practicing that penalty shootout a lot more. And that shows that he's going back to the drawing board. He's assessing his team, and he's working on what needs to get better. And, you know, those are some of the things that I think – why Kyle Dubas brought him in. He's a guy that's willing to adapt, a guy that's so good at reading the room and getting the most out of players.
And I think you see that too in the division of labor when you see minutes on the ice. I've noticed in the last few that Crosby's minutes are lowered, not by a lot, but they're lowered. Malkin lowered, Letang lowered. Other guys are getting opportunities. Fourth line guys are being out there more than just 4 minutes a game. They're out there for 10 minutes a game. And I think it makes a big difference. Off the Top today is brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. A rundown of what we have today. Of course, we start with Tyler Kennedy every Thursday. And then it's Chris Hokey, Bro 76 will be here. After that, do we have a City Limits Austin Express?
We'll have a Limitless Express later on.
Okay,
yes,
Okay, that's
Bob.
Coming up later. We have your calls eventually at 412-928-9370. Also, Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless they get money for you. All right, one of the things that's interesting to me, we've seen the insertion of Ben Kindle, and they certainly believe in him. They've put him on the top line. They put him on the power play. He has that hockey IQ, Tyler, that you would think, you know, at 18, most guys don't develop yet, but he has it. And he's more than willing and able to play with Sidney Crosby, which is not easy for those who don't know how to do it. But Harrison Brunick now has been scratched for I don't know how many games in a row. He's reached the limit of nine. Yeah. And the next time he sets foot on a game in the NHL, he has to be here, and then the contract triggers. I think they're trying to kind of navigate this as they go, but he hasn't played, which tells me they don't want to send him back to juniors. So what's next? Is there a chance he could play in a conditioning program in the American Hockey League, World Juniors, anything that would go against better competition? Or do you think they just keep him here and play him, you know, tomorrow night against the Wild?
Well, I think they are going to send him down on a conditioning stint. I guess there's a little loophole where they can send him down. I think it's 2 weeks. And honestly, you go down in the AHL for 2 weeks, you can play eight games because they cram those games in like crazy. But that's something he needs to play. He needs to get in a couple games. Does he have to play all 82 games in the NHL? No. But he does I would think if you're going to keep him up, you would expect him to play at least half because you're going to burn a year on his contract. You're going to need to at least get his feet wet by playing half the games. And when you're a young guy and they put you in the stands, when you watch the game and you watch what the Carlsons, the Letangs, what they do out there, you got a bird's eye view of how they handle certain situations, and then you see them in practice. I think it's so beneficial for him to stay up here and learn from those guys and be around and jump into a couple games and see it. Because when you see Muse, when you hear Muse talk about him, they have a game plan. They know exactly what he's doing. Because if they didn't think he was ready to take the next step, he'd be back last month. So he's definitely staying up. Because if he isn't and they send him back to Drew, I think it's you just wasted a month of sitting him around. You know, it's useless. The young guy needs to play. So I think they have a plan. I think he can go and play World Juniors where he's going to cram in a bunch of games too. But if he goes to World Juniors with only like 10 games, maybe 15 games, you're kind of hurting him, you know, because you're playing against other junior players that have 40 games under their belt. They're already mid-season form. And you talk about hockey shape and all that. Like, you can't play one game a week and expect to feel comfortable. That's the only thing. And I think once he goes down, plays those games, when he comes back up, they are really going to have to try to get him into some games, because he can't do that. That's not fair to him. That's not fair to anyone, because it's not easy getting a rhythm. You need to get in rhythms in the NHL by playing. And sitting in the stand, yes, it's great, and he's learning, and it's better than junior, but he needs to get time on the ice against NHL forwards, NHL speed, to make sure that years coming, that this year he got something out of it, and then instead of just burning the contract up.
Yeah, I think that is a little bit of a dilemma, because they want to get him some action, but I think they have made up their mind. It's pretty clear he ain't going back to his junior team. They feel he's beyond that, so we'll see what it means. Even if he does play, as you suggest, you know, game here, off one night, then give him two in a row, then give him an off. I mean, you can navigate that all the way through. It's interesting when you look here at the Penguins, and Evgeny Malkin leads them with 23 points in 19 games, right? He's a plus five. He's doing everything you would expect a guy like him to do 5 years ago. You know, right. He's putting up early season numbers, like he doesn't want to stop playing. And that's always an interesting question, because most people assume, Tyler, that he came here, played this year, you know, and 1 year left on a contract, what would they do? Let's play a little hypothetical game. Let's say he leads them in scoring all the way through. He's more than a point a game. Right now he's a plus five player. He's another guy who's bought in a little bit more to the system than what he's done before. What do they do with him? Yeah. Assuming he wants to stay more here.
Well, I think it's up how he finishes a year, but he's going to have, I'm hearing he's having a meeting with Kyle Dubas over the Olympic break. And that's going to be a big telling tale of what happens, because
at Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I think right now, if he's always had very good starts to the year. Last year, his first 2 months, he was very good. It's how much energy can Gino sustain throughout the whole year. Again, he always starts off hot and then he kind of drifts off and, you know, he cools off quite a bit. But I think for him, I think he knows if he's going to play or not next year. And I think he doesn't want to end on maybe a note that it's like, hey, I only put up 10 goals. I wasn't a factor the last year. I think Gino's a very, very competitive guy, competitive player. He's always going to put everything he has. Doesn't matter if it's his first year or last year. But when you're putting up the numbers and you see how he's playing, it feels like he's got that spark back that we haven't seen since the first month of last year. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about ice time and you talk about how Muse is distributing it a lot more throughout the lineup, that saves guys like Malkin for the January, February, March, April schedule. And that's what makes him, a great coach. So I think Gino, it's very in the air. And what I think if East continues to have a good year and he's in the top five in points, how much do you pay him if he wants to come back?
Well, how would you answer that? Because he's making, what, $6 million or so this year? Last year of it? To me, if he wants to come back, he's age 40 now. I would go year to year if he'd be agreeable to that. So it'd have to be a one-year deal. I would keep him in that same range.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'd sign him to a one-year deal. I think Malkin would probably want a one-year deal. And I if you can get Gino, you know, a second-line center that's going to put up 15 to 20 goals, and you're only paying him 5.5, that creates so much room on the other guys you can spend money on. And the only thing that scares me, some with these Russian guys, they always want to go back and play in Russia for 1 year. And is Gino playing to play 1 year in Russia? Because that's what Ovi's saying right now. He goes, I would like to play, a couple games back in Russia once I retire from the NHL. And is that going to be the same as Malkin? I don't know. But it seems like those two take very similar paths. You know, imagine those two teaming up, playing for a Russian team. Like, that would build up Russian hockey like crazy, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those guys are valued over there in a big way. I mean, that's why Yager's still playing at age 53 in the Czech Republic, you know, because they love him.
Yeah, and that's why when you go back to, is it good for the NHL to have a guy like Ovechkin break Gretzky's record? Is it helping Russian hockey or is it helping the NHL? You know, because he's building this name and then he goes back and then he's starting to build, look what I did, now I'm coming back, I want everyone to get involved in hockey. You know, Gretzky's been around in the game, he's still in the game, and he's still promoting and building the game. So I'm very interested to see what their plan is for Malkin, what his plan is, because I think they're going to hold it pretty close to their chest. I don't even think Gino's probably telling the Penguins what his real end game plan is, because he's going to see how this year plays out. But it seems like all these guys, they enjoy playing for Muse. They enjoy this new culture, this new energy that we haven't had in the Pittsburgh organization in a couple years, right? Because we've been out the last 2 to 3 years. We haven't made playoffs. Like, talk about draining. Now it's like, wow, we got a pretty good team. Like, we're playing to our strengths. We're having fun. We're putting up points. Guys are getting the points they should. We have a couple young guys that are coming to the rink smiling every day. That's probably a big change for some of those veteran guys.
No question about it. Here's the other thing I mentioned about the ice time for players. So I'm looking and comparing these numbers. Evgeny Malkin is averaging 17 minutes a game. Last year it was above that. This time it was 19. Sidney Crosby, 19 minutes a game. There are games he's gone way over that, you know, when they need him to do. And I guess power plays will factor in. But if you look at a guy like Parker Wotherspoon, 21 minutes a game. Ryan Shea, 20 minutes a game. Those guys are logging as much ice time as Carlson and Letang. If you go down the fourth lines, guys like Connor Dewar, 14 minutes. Blake Lizotte, 14 minutes. Achari, 13 minutes. These are all guys who get a lot more ice time here. And I think that does have, I mean, you would know. Yeah. You guys have one of the best third lines.
Right.
You, Stahl, and Cook, you got a lot of minutes, I'm sure, during that time. Even the fourth line. The more you can do that, I think it has a positive effect on everyone above the fourth and third lines.
100%. Because when you're a top-heavy team, you look at the Oilers, right?
Yeah.
They ran out of steam. And when I was playing, as a third liner and I was getting 13 to 16 minutes, like, I was involved in a game. You know, you were sweating like it's crazy, but you were – actively pretty involved in the team. When you get under 10 minutes, Bob, you're going on the ice not sweating and you're leaving the game not sweating. Like, it's hard to be involved because you're taking 5 to 10 minutes in between each shifts, and it's like it's hard to keep the emotion in the game. That's why you see a lot of third and fourth line guys chirping from the bench, trying to knock guys over coming off the ice because they're trying to find that emotion because they've just been sitting on the bench. But when you spread it out and you show guys, hey, I believe you can handle more minutes, it helps everyone. It helps the guys that are getting more minutes with the confidence. Like, hey, coach believes that I deserve more minutes. He's giving me more minutes. It shows a respect both ways, but it shows confidence that your coach likes you and he believes in you. And then for the veteran guys, I think it takes less pressure off them. Like last year when only Sid's line was playing, like Sid, I always felt like his line knew they had to put up so many points because we weren't getting anything from the bottom six last year. Now I feel he's going in that the top two lines are going in saying, hey, if we don't get points, our third and fourth line are starting to pull the rope and starting to produce. And again, that third and fourth line, the fourth line's been great playing fourth line minutes, which means they're grinding teams down. They're not turning pucks over. They're playing exactly how your fourth line would do. The third line's, again, putting up points. It's chemistry, right? When you put a team get together and you think of the Washington Capitals and all that stuff, when you put guys that play well together, you don't need the best team, right? You don't need the most skilled team. You need guys that have good chemistry. And the Penguins have started to find that. Obviously, injuries are throwing a little bit of a ripple in the lineup. But I think once they get going again and they find that chemistry, which I don't think is going to be easy, but that's what makes them a strong team. Just coming, they're rolling lines, they're keeping guys fresh. Because, Bob, after Christmas, like when I think of the year, like right now we're in the appetizer, just finished the appetizer, the salad's coming. You know, you still feel good. You're still trying to judge what the team is. After Christmas is when you get the steak and you get your potato, the big meat of the year. Where kind of year, what kind of team do you have? Is it a team that we got a lucky start, or is it a team that we can make a little bit of a push here? So we still have a lot of time, but right now it looks so good. The chemistry's there. The guys are playing and they're enjoying it. Yeah. Right? Like it seems like they're enjoying going to the rink. I don't think the Penguins have posted on Instagram a guy not smiling at the rink.
Yeah.
That's a lot different.
And I think the young guys bring a lot of that out of the old guys. Yeah. I think they get energized seeing, I remember when I was your age, Ben Kindle, and all this kind of stuff. So definitely. So when does the dessert get served there? Is that playoffs? Is that what that is? Or I mean, you have the steak. Yeah. We haven't even gotten to the salad. So if we haven't gotten to the salad, steak will be. Maybe there's a surf and turf on the other, and then you take it to a different level.
Well, usually if the steak and the entree aren't great, you don't really order dessert because, you know, your expectations are pretty low, right?
Well, I hope they get to after dinner drink status. That would be well into the playoffs.
That's a bonus.
Yeah, by the way, I don't know, Austin, if you saw Tyler's daughter is like a well-decorated dancer.
I did not know that.
Oh, my goodness. Because I know my granddaughters dance, and they see her, and it's like, wow. So where does she get the dancing talent and the ability to do ballet and all this stuff? Because I know Brandy was pretty talented in that department. You have to be proud of what she's accomplished.
Yeah, it's a completely different world. She dances at Thomas, and she loves her friends there. It's like it's like a team, right? But my daughter is a performer. My wife was, you know, an actress, and she did a bunch of performing, and she gets so much of that. And my wife gives her a lot of tips of literally just like the little like expressions on stage and all that stuff. Cause I can never do that, but my daughter thoroughly enjoys, you know, putting on these little plays, these dances. And last week she had like a little competition or whatever, and she got like, you know, best performer or whatever. But my wife always says like she's so good at performing and entertaining, because if you see her at home, Bob, she's always going into character. She's always, you know, she's either mimicking the Kardashians or whatever. And it's like,
you better watch that.
Yeah,
I know. Don't take that too far.
Yeah. But just the way they speak and, you know, they talk crazy and all that stuff. But again, I'm definitely proud of her. It's so nice to kind of sit back and not really know what's going on and just see her work hard at something, you know. And I think it gives me a little relief because my son's in hockey and I'm hard on him, and I might be too hard on him. So when I go to see her, it reminds me to take a step back and let them chase their dreams instead of getting too much involved.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of parents, you know, they want it more than their kids, and it kind of gets them nowhere.
No, I know you may influence them to some degree, but then it's up to them to figure out where they're going. And she's certainly on her way to some big things, it looks like. So congrats on that. Hey, I want to tell you the Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, which is providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. When we come back, I want to get your take, Tyler, on the injury to Charlie McAvoy. He got hit in the face with a puck, and he needs surgery now. I want to take you back to your days, some of the injuries you may have sustained. And I remember Crosby taking one to the chops and what had to happen there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.